I love that sound, dude.
Oh, man. Back like we never left, eh?
I love that sound even more.
Oh, my man.
I love it's that sound even more. Welcome to it. This is Working Title FC. And listen, we are back now. You know, we're not we're not like, you know, when in the 90s when South American players used to go back for qualifiers. Yeah. Oh, then they missed a plane and then they lost their passport and it took them like 4 months to get back.
Exactly.
No, this is time we're back. Working Title FC. We are a mostly football podcast. We currently in the final week, hopefully not, of our title as the African Podcast and Voiceover Awards Sports Podcast of the Year. The new winners announced next week. Hopefully we've gone back to back.
Hopefully, but even even if we don't, I mean, we're the trailblazers. So yeah, man. Also,
that's it, dude.
We'll be back for our title. If someone else gets it, it's good. Makes us go back to...
We've got to be humble, you know.
Yeah, of course, bro.
It's easy to get to the top. It's harder to stay there. But let's see what we do. So you hear it over there. My name is Paolo. If this is your first time, maybe you forgot.
Last I checked, it was Paolo.
Maybe you forgot, and you are the all essential, all essential Senzo. Welcome back.
Gracias.
It has been a time.
It has been a time, guys. Yes. It's just been a lot on the personal front. I recently became a father. So, yeah, now you guys have to put bass in your voice when you talk to me because I'm someone's dad. it's just been that and just, yeah, focusing on my kid and all that. But it's been a great time.
That's it. The man is doing good things. Listen, you're a voice who is not here, young Ryan Tinline. He is doing the things out in Ireland.
Ireland.
Oh. He's having a great time over there. He's probably listening right now.
I should hope so.
What's up, Ryan? Listen, he's loving it there because that boy loves music. He loves the music scene and being out in Europe and especially Ireland. You're so close. Mm. I got to tell you, the boy boy loves clout. That hasn't changed.
No, bro. I mean, but he's young, bro. Like, you know, young people, you know, they love clout, bro. Clout is, it's currency.
He sat in the online queue for Oasis tickets. He didn't get them.
Yeah, FOSS anyway, because they're Man City boys, so like,
right,
whatever.
Exactly. So that is young Ryan. But listen, not only are we back, listeners are back. We're so thankful you guys are here. Thank you for being patient, because we know there's a lot of sports content out there, but we don't think anyone's doing sports content like us, right?
Absolutely not.
But there are new listeners, because you may be listening to this for the first time. We have relaunched the show in partnership with IOL, Independent Online. This might be the first time you're listening to this podcast. You're one of the guys who found us through IOL. Welcome to it. We hope that you enjoy Working Title FC. And now the reason we've gone this way is because we want to do good things for listeners. This is
absolutely
like, we have fun. Senzo and I can go to a bar and talk about soccer.
Till the cars come,
right? But we think we do it in a way that's like entertaining to people, and
absolutely,
it's proven so. But we want to give you guys something back, so that's why we've kind of took our time, get our stuff right. We do a better show, we get more listeners, it gives us opportunity to bring things to you guys. So
absolutely,
share the show with a friend, you know what I mean?
Be a friend, tell a friend, let's get more friends. And
that's what I'm saying, get listeners up. You know, maybe you have a friend who you say, I got this great podcast, you got to listen to this. I don't listen to podcasts. You know, I don't know how to. It's too difficult. I don't have an iPhone, blah, blah. You know what? Go to iol.co.za, look for podcasts. We're there. So it's easy.
Do you know what? I used to be that person as well. But like, it's, for me, it's like, podcasts work when you don't feel like listening to radio and you don't feel like listening to music. And you just feel like you want to hear something. Not that you're going to be like seriously fixated on it. Mm. And just, yeah, it's seamless as well. So yeah.
That's it. And you know what? We hope.
I've got friends that work out to podcasts. They work out to our podcast.
That's it, dude. That's it. Energetic.
Yeah, it's energetic. Exactly.
Get the buzz up. Get the energy up. So that is our introduction. We're coming up a whole bunch of new features over the course of the season. We'll chuck a few in every single show. We did launch a series called Goat Farm.
Yeah.
Which was popular, but we want to relaunch it. We're going to
put
the full episodes in the feed, but we are going to drop a portion of it later on in this episode.
Just to give you a taster.
We're actually going to give you the full episode this. They're short. They're snack size.
Yeah, they are snack size. Exactly.
Nice to have snacks.
Exactly.
Right. So, that stab was stabby.
Dude,
it was stabby.
It jolts you, bro.
Very stabby. So listen, We are a mostly football podcast. Senzo is not used to the studio, the fluctuating temperature.
It's
in the hot,
studio. Really. So like it's
hot,
cold.
Then it's cold. Then
it's also like being in a hospital room. Like sometimes it's hot, sometimes cold, sometimes there's aircon, sometimes there isn't. So like, yeah, man.
Where do you sit on it? Right, so what do you want to do when we talk about sports stories? We've got a new way of doing it, and we call it Five-A-Side. Each one of us is going to bring five football stories to the table. They could be matching football stories. Okay. They're things that are hot right now or hot in the past couple of weeks. But dude, I want to start off with, we got to, if you don't know, Senzo and I are both Manchester United sufferers.
Yeah, sufferers.
Sufferers.
Yeah. Ah, but yeah, it's...
Erik ten Hag getting his biggest win since he's been manager.
Seven love, yeah.
Okay. Technically playing a third division side. I know they're all political about it.
Yeah.
What division one? Your third division.
Yeah, your third division.
You know, bullying. I mean, throws Bruno Fernandes on for no reason. But listen, you can only beat what's in front of you. Exactly. Goals are good. Rashford, he's a streaky player.
He's a confidence guy, bro. He's a confidence guy. And the thing
in
is
a good
like,
streak now.
Yeah, won 3 in 2 games. Do you know what? I think it's a good sign. Do you know why? Because also the rotation, because we changed five guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And besides that, we've previously struggled against non top tier opposition. Coventry,
That was a banana skin coming.
Newport, we struggled.
Mm.
So, but this is good. After 3-0 from Southampton, you can only build on that because we got Palace next, and Palace away has never been an easy fixture for us.
You know, the thing for Ten Hag is people are waiting to shit on United, and
exactly.
Listen, we know a lot of content producers that United being good is bad for them.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad for their brand. Exactly.
You know, and listen, that's what you're not going to get on this podcast. We're not the guys who are going to scream and rant and just make crazy emotional statements.
I mean, also because we actually kind of do watch football because the thing is, crap is crap. You can dress a turd up in a tux. It's still a turd, right?
Right. So, but the thing with Ten Hag is there was a bit of a run of fixtures that could have been a hell of a banana skin for him.
Yeah.
You know, because you just look at the profile of teams of like Southampton, Barnsley, I think they've got FC 20 coming up, Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of potential to kind of like, geez, get sacked.
Yeah.
Basically. And he's navigated them, so...
But I don't think he's out of the woods yet.
Navigating them.
I don't think he's out of the woods yet because after that, you know, after Liverpool especially, I mean, I think he must have been given till... You know, after that,
I think it's international break to international break.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I think the next one is going to be what, middle of November?
No, October already.
October, but like I think he's got until November, like that run of like 9-10 fixtures, and that's where you can see, okay, is this guy turning the corner, or is it much of the same thing? And if you're going to pull the plug, you might as well pull it then. And I think Ineos know what they're doing behind the scenes.
And listen, I'll tell you one thing that they have done that I think is a masterstroke because it gets him out of jail. Because obviously they're not going to fire Ten Hag in the summer because this gives them an out. They can get rid of him. They've got Ruud van Nistelrooy sitting there. What an easy PR win as a takeover because he's been in the situation before.
Yeah.
He's taken over a team in this situation before.
Exactly.
United legend.
Mm.
So he's going to get a lot of time from the fans.
Yeah, back in,
So I think they've played an absolute masterstroke. Hopefully it doesn't come to that. You know,
exactly.
We need stability. We need stability. All right. So one thing United aren't in. Listen, great to see United playing midweek on a Champions League night.
Yeah, on a Tuesday.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we are playing on a Champions League night. The new Champions League format. We just finished, man. Three
match days. Yeah.
There are a lot of. I think it was only this week that there were three match days.
But like the knockout. Well, this phase of the Champions League only ends in January. So yeah.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on it? So listen, I mean, by now you should have got your head around it. It's one league table.
Yes.
Everyone plays 8 games, but not
nine.
Double nine in this round.
I think it's eight.
Not against you. There's no double headers.
Exactly.
It's just you just play.
Yeah, it's once off. Yeah,
and then I think the top eight go through automatically.
Top eight get automatic to the round of 16. Then 9 to 24 play a two-legged tie, and from there. And if you finish below, teams 25th to 36th, you're out of Europe. There's no Europa reprieve. Like you're gone.
Safety net. What do you think about it?
I love it. I love it because now there's no hiding. One also, it's more difficult to win the Champions League now because it doesn't matter. you and I can both play the same guy. Have you seen Liverpool's fixture list? That's dreadful.
Yeah.
But now there's no hiding because the only protection you get is if people are in the same country as you, or from the same country as you. Other than that, it's all bets are off.
And what I like about it is, listen, there is the argument about player fatigue, but dude, I don't feel, am I wrong in that I don't feel bad about that?
No, neither do I, because these guys are also getting paid multi-millions.
Because players are saying, oh, we'll go on strike. But you know what the thing is? It's like, okay, yeah, you can moan. Trust me, there is a guy ready to take your place.
If
there's too many games for you, don't play. I'll take your place.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
The guys itching on the bench. The guys who are sitting on big wages and just like, what am I doing here? I'm not playing. Like, you know, you feel me?
It's like you live a very nice lifestyle because of the way football is. Don't complain about it, right? But anyway, that's a whole other discussion. What I like about the format of the Champions League, right? So I support, along with Manchester United, I support kind of like a team from the next tier of nation, Sporting Portugal, Portuguese champions.
Garte comes from there, bro.
Okay, if you need to know, Ronaldo comes from there. If you really need to
know. Luis Figo comes from there.
The only academy that's produced two
Ballon d'Or winners.
Okay, just put the respect respect on the name. Not Sporting Lisbon, Sporting Portugal, right? Previously in the Champions League, so you end up in a group, you play with Man City, right? Because we're never going to avoid them because of the way seedings work. You then just got to know, now I'm playing for second and I've got a write off 6 points, right? Now, now Sporting go, okay, well, they're going to play City and they're going to play Arsenal, but it's more stacked because there's a much clearer pathway to get into that first eight places than just going, oh, well, you know, now there's two of us playing for second place. I think it's more fair. There is no hiding place.
There's no hiding, though.
The winners are going to come from the same teams.
Exactly.
It's going to come from the same teams. But I think the potential for that second tier of teams, and that's what a lot of people don't quite realize they look at when UEFA does this. Easy to shit on them.
Yeah.
Okay? But the second tier of teams, it opens up for them.
So much more.
Listen, it's going to be super damaging for their leagues because, you know, now if Sporting look to be on a couple of good years, they're going to generate a lot of money from this new format
of
Champions League.
Absolutely.
Which is going to completely skew the Portuguese league. It's going to completely skew these leagues.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, Bayern Munich give Dinamo Zagreb.
And 9-2.
Those guys have won title after title after title after title after title after title.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's just, listen, I like the new format. I think let it settle.
Let it settle. But like,
it's going to be interesting because the transfer window happens right in there's still two match days
and
in
now,
the transfer window.
And the UEFA is getting, the Ballon d'Or is going to be part of the UEFA. Like, UEFA is going to come, like, the Champions League is going to come more towards Ballon d'Or. So, like, now it's also going to give people an incentive to. Actually,
Ferdinand's creaming his pants, man.
Yeah, he is.
Ferdinand is creaming. Do you see that clip with Vinicius in the Champions League final? Ferdinand, we haven't had a show since
No.
Oh, there's a clip went around of when Vinicius Jr. scores in the Champions League final in the build up to play. Rio Ferdinand is going, Ballon d'Or, Ballon d'Or. But it's like, dude, you are a man in your 40s. It is not right to be obsessing.
Yeah, exactly.
Over something like that. Anyway, he does it for the clout. Maybe we do as well.
Maybe we
get big and we lose focus. No, we've been there before, and we won't do this now. City didn't get off to a great start. No, not that. Inter Milan are really good.
No, they are good. They're organized.
Yeah,
they're organized.
That's a little bit of a dynasty coming there. I think.
Yeah, I also think so because like I think Juventus have gone back to the drawing board. They have to.
Gone young.
Yeah, they've scrapped everything and they said, listen, Chiesa, be out. And then, you know, Obadildi's, do you see his goal?
Oh,
my God.
But across Juventus, a lot of young players.
Yeah.
Weston McKennie, they've got the dude on a diet.
Yeah.
Looking sharp. Thiago Motta doing interesting things. Yeah. But not yet. I think Inter are going to have a couple of years.
Give them time, yeah.
Roma, no chance.
Bro, you know us.
Dude, they just shot Bambi, bro. Fired Rossi. What are you? Anyway.
Bro, there's a lot going on. It's the Yanks, bro. It's the Yank owners, bro.
Man. Anyway, so City didn't get off to... They got off to expected start. They're playing the champions of Serie A.
Exactly. Let's be fair. You're not going to go 4-0 them. That's not how it works. And also, they played them in the final, and they only won 1-0 2 years ago, 2 seasons ago.
City's charges, dude.
Bro, that case started.
Who's sweating more, Diddy or City?
They're Diddy or City. They're both sweating. Trust me. But like, especially what
who needs more lube?
Whew.
Hey, Diddy's got a thousand bottles of lube. Send it over,
bro. Yes, but like the thing is, like I say with the City thing, either way, you know, there's not going to be a real winner afterwards because it's going to. Even if they do win, beat the charges. It's going to tarnish their reputation, yeah. Like, big time.
Yeah.
Big time. Like, I think that, like, that's kind of it for them. And I don't know, like, what do you make of the whole thing, Paulo?
You know, they've already threatened. They said, we will wrap this thing up. We will tie this thing up in legislation and lawyers and lawyers. We will lawyer up, okay?
For as long as we can.
Yeah. That's what's the kind of disappointing thing.
Mm.
The Premier League have got to make a stand because they're going, you know what? We can't be made to look like idiots. We can't let them lawyer up.
And we can't keep on letting this happen because, like, you know, at what point does it stop?
Yeah.
Where's exactly?
You know, there's going to be some compromise. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
There's some interesting punishments, though. Like, we're not legal experts, and it's a very boring case. Not boring. It's just
a lot of red tape.
It's a lot of stuff, right?
It's a lot of stuff,
yeah. and clever people and lawyers being lawyers. But the one thing I want to kind of talk about are some of the punishments that have been suggested. Mm. So, of course, stripping titles, right? That's the one.
I don't think, like, okay, if they get stripped, right, who do those majority of the titles go? They go to us in Liverpool.
Well, so there would be one that would go to us, right? I wouldn't want that.
I also don't want it like that.
So don't give me stripped titles, rather no one. There is the other talk of not a once-off points deduction, but points deductions over a period of years. So they said 100 points deduction spread over 5 years.
So that's 20 each year.
20, still enough to get them into Conference League, probably. Still enough to get them challenging, right? So they're not going to be relegated.
Yeah, no.
It's just that's not going to happen. Fines, money means nothing to them.
Yeah, money's
points deductions with Pep in the same squad. It's not going to make a difference.
Yeah,
right. I think asset strip, reassign. You're losing your players. And not only are you not allowed selling them,
other teams get them.
You have to give your players a trade exchange. Trades. You have to trade your players.
Rodri for Casemiro. First thing I'm doing. Rodri for Casemiro. But I don't know.
Because, even if it does come down to a punishment,
what's adequate, though?
There's no punishment that. That fits the crime.
Exactly.
And that hurts them. They are so rich. They are so, I mean, we watch it. We watch what happens, but I don't think, there is a punishment that hurts them.
Do you think if they get what happens to Juve, you remember Juve went down to like Serie B or Serie C, do you think that's fair?
You know, but the thing with Juve, if maybe you're too young to remember that, Juve match fixing, they went down. But the thing, they went down.
And they kept all their players. And
Buffon
said they stayed.
Del Piero stayed. Yeah.
It's only like Zlatan that left because.
Look, City's not going to. I can't see any City player doing that.
Yeah.
It's today. I mean, I'd be very surprised. I can't see it happen, especially because the Premier League acts as a separate entity to the Football League.
Yes, yes.
So it's like, do they want them? It's not this. I don't know. I just don't see, even if they punish him, what punishment actually hurts City. You know,
not Pep, playing Champions League, maybe?
You know, because then Pep goes, you know what, I don't want to be part of this. This is tainted my name. Maybe. But that's a separate competition.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
It's and listen, UEFA have had a go at City before.
And they lost.
But I don't know. It's just no punishment hurts them. Listen, do you want to bring anything to the five-a-side yet?
Oh, did you see the 30 players Ballon d'Or winner? Ballon d'Or shortlist.
Mm.
What do you think?
I would be very disappointed if it's not Vinicius. I think...
I think it's between three.
Yeah?
It's Vinicius, Rodri, and Bellingham.
Jeez.
But I think Bellingham, because of him being Bellingham. No, I'm not taking away anything from the kid.
I reckon his Euro wasn't great.
We got to the final though, bro.
I know. Do players like Bellingham win Ballon d'Ors? The goal scorers do.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of like...
But if we are being fair, Rodri also has a good shot.
Again, players like Rodri don't win it.
Yeah, Vinicius is just that Brazil sold the bed in Copa America. So I don't know.
You know, a Brazilian striker.
Just give it to Messi.
That's right. Give it to him again. Bring him back in.
Give it to Messi.
Listen, I want to talk to you about a player. He scored in midweek, his Champions League debut. A guy that a couple of people are sleeping on. Not sleeping on, I think it shows the changing face in football. I want to talk to you about the guy outscoring Harry Kane and Kylian Mbappe.
Tell us.
He's my boy, Victor Gyokeres. If maybe you haven't heard of him, he plays in Portugal, plays in Sporting. The guy is, in the year of 2024, because you know some of these goal-scoring lists run like that.
Yeah,
right?
they're weird, yeah.
They take calendar year. He is the, let me get his numbers up here. He has scored, including his... goals in the Champions League, 34 goals this calendar season, of where Haaland is on 28, Mbappe is on 28 as well,
and
Harry Kane on 28. They're all on 28. So he is now, okay, you may have noticed that the others are playing in La Liga, Premier League, and Bundesliga versus Portugal. So I do get it. That includes... international goals includes, obviously.
But that's still, bro, 34, you know, slouch, bro.
What I was quite surprised about is going, like, listen, you know, the thing in the Portuguese league is the team with the best scorer wins the league. That's just how it's always been.
Yeah.
Right? And, of course, we won the league last year with him. He came from, interesting, he, like, was at Brighton for a while.
Naturally,
right?
Yes, exactly.
And then
he had a bright start.
Didn't work out. He went to Coventry.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sporting bought him from Coventry, and he just like never looked back from there. And despite like everyone being linked with him, Arsenal, United, Chelsea,
as usual,
no one came in for him. And it's like, listen, I'm super glad because, you know, it gives us a chance to, you know, defend our title. Plus gives us a good run in the Champions League because the guy is just a natural goal scorer. It opens up the question about strikers and number nines, because previously you go, geez, a dude scoring goals like that with a relatively low release clause.
Yeah.
You know, in a selling league,
yeah,
no one goes for him, right? But it raises the question of how different number nines are.
In Europe, there was this, I think everybody's hands were a bit tied.
Mm.
You didn't want to go out there, you know, and go dip your hand in the, unless you like Atletico Madrid, because they spent, they broke bank for people.
They did, but I think that financial reality is really starting to hit teams of where they're going, especially the Premier League. Before, they would have gone, get him, doesn't work, we get rid of him. You know, not everyone's following the Chelsea model. But it does hit, and especially for teams going, we don't play with that number nine anymore.
Yeah.
You know, even like Ivan Toney being available for like almost nothing.
And he's tried and tested. He's tried and tested in England.
So...
I also found it bizarre. And
look,
like...
he's got the background, okay, of course. But, I mean, you know, it's not like he was banned for drug use or problems that could affect him physically. But it just shows that target man number nine, I think of the elite teams.
The last pure guy like that was Harry Kane.
But
Harry Kane's also like a hybrid because you can do whatever you want him to do.
I mean, your only target man number nine is Haaland, but I mean, he's such a freak of nature.
Exactly.
Because the difference is when you look at Sporting got a lot of very good players. The team's built around him.
Yeah.
It's built around his strength.
Yeah.
And teams don't do that anymore.
Exactly.
They're like, you know, we've got guys coming from inside. We got guys pushing from midfield.
The wing, yeah.
You know, we've got fullbacks coming in. So it's that focal point number nine is very different. So anyway, the dude is outscoring Harry Kane, Haaland, and Mbappe. Long may it continue, because if it does, mean Sporting are winning things.
But another argument, do you think now it's better to be stacked up front or be stacked in the midfield?
Midfield, man.
Yeah.
Did you see Ancelotti talking while you're talking about that? Says he's changing to a four-man midfield. Bellingham, Tchouameni, Valverde,
Camavinga.
Jesus. Come on, man.
You're not getting the ball there. other teams are not hitting the ball.
Come on. And if you do,
and then it's Vinny and Mbappe up front. Oh, they're going to score 3,000 goals this season.
Come on. Going back to 4-4-2. Carlo, bring it back, man. Christmas tree.
Honestly.
It's got to be a midfield diamond on that, right?
Yeah, it has to be a diamond because,
I mean, like, that's just showing.
But he's got the right players to do it, though.
But then you're dropping Rodrigo, man.
Oh, bro. Jeez, I'm sorry, man. Someone's got to go, bro.
Listen, play a lot of games. So, I mean, if you're kind of backup to Mbappe and Vinny.
You're not mad. I'm not mad at all.
You know, but good player, though. But anyway, that's just showing off. But so to the point, I mean, listen, Carlo Ancelotti knows. Don Carlo.
Don's already cooked this up. That's why I said I'm going. No. You said, Brizzle, wait a bit. Like, yeah, I've got something. No, no. I've got something good here.
This is interesting to me.
Yeah, this is nice.
I got a little toy I'm going to play with.
Yeah, it's nice.
No, so to that point, if Don Carlo says midfield's the way to go.
Hey, man.
Who are we to argue? Listen, about the Mbappe thing. I mean, he hasn't like hit the ground. I mean, he's doing well.
I mean, he's
not shooting the lights out, but he's fitted in almost like.
But it's Mbappe.
It is. It is. And you know what? We spoke about it before. We've spoken about it many times about Mbappe. It maybe being a bit of a diva. Definitely too big for PSG, but kind of going, I'm not too big for Real Madrid.
Yeah, approach to Real Madrid.
Kind of like understands where he is.
And also Carlo Ancelotti as well. But he's managed them before, but like now it's different now. You know what I mean?
Did they cross over at PSG?
I think so.
Might have been just before. But anyway, listen. You don't respect Don Carlo.
Nah, bro.
Don Carlo doesn't last in football this long without knowing people.
You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying?
He goes, have you seen who I've coached? Have you seen it?
Listen, if you wanna listen, go back through our feed. We're not going to play his portion of Goat Farm, but I did do Carlo Ancelotti Goat Farm. Go back and listen to it. We go through it, where we just list the players that he has coached and played with.
It's wild.
Don't forget, the guy was an elite player as well.
He doesn't get starstruck.
You know, the word goat is thrown around too easily.
Too easily, dude.
Sometimes. Listen, I want to talk about a retiring player. From female football, Alex Morgan. She announced her retirement just before the last international break.
I think it's about time, though.
You know what it is, but I mean, don't let that sleep on what was actually a phenomenal career.
Oh, bro.
For anybody.
For anybody, bro. Like, it is. And people aren't going to, I think people get very fickle when it comes to, you know, women's soccer and all that, but. Guys, just look at the body of work for what it is. It's absolutely phenomenal.
I mean, won 2 World Cups and an Olympic gold, which is in the women's game is effectively a World Cup.
Yeah.
It's held quite highly. She 224 goals in 123 games.
Jesus, bro.
A 14-year career. I mean, so there is the football side, but I think the real legacy of Alex Morgan, and I think what she's going to do even going further. So, of course, listen, let's not lie. She first gets everyone's attention because she's good looking, right?
She's visually appealing, yes.
You know, so of course that gets her the attention of other people. But I do think that maybe that held her back because she never won any of the individual awards, right?
I think that does help. It's kind of like a poison chalice.
Yeah, like it's kind of like a bit of a glamour thing.
Oh, it's because of the way she looks. No, not really. The lady can jam.
Yeah.
She can play.
So she first gets attention because of that. But I think she was the first female footballer to really break that kind of, I mean, she was in FIFA. There was the journey version of FIFA Alec, what is that dude?
My brother used to do it.
Exactly. He used to play a career mode and she was in it.
Yeah.
And then I think his sister modeled on her career. Yeah. So that was a huge thing. And, you know, now in the new EA games and that, you can play as female footballers. But to have her in the game, so that was kind of the first breakthrough. You go through America where football isn't really
soccer.
Soccer. People knew Alex Morgan. They knew Megan Rapinoe. So Alex Morgan was the first one. She played for Lyon, she won one Champions League with them, but they went to like on a crazy run.
Yeah, they did.
Lyon's women's team won like 6 or 7 Champions Leagues in a row. They were crazy. She played for Tottenham's women's team for a while as well. I think at the time Mourinho was there. I think she only played 4 games. She came injured. But listen, great legacy. She really, I think she was one of the breakthrough. Listen, another huge thing. Let's not even discredit. She led the charge to have the woman national team players in
Megan,
the US.
Her and Megan Rapinoe, yeah.
To be paid the same as the men.
Because they're like, look, we've won three World Cups, bro. What have they won?
You know, we'll walk down the street, people know who we are.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, even Weston McKennie.
Exactly.
He's not getting noticed, you know.
Exactly.
So I think quite rightly she did that. And listen, she's spoken about club ownership.
Okay.
And you know, in American sports, when you buy a franchise, it's
go speak to David Beckham, bro.
It's linked to, you know, an NBA franchise or WNBA franchise.
Exactly.
So I think she is only getting started. Going to make a big call. First female president of FIFA. Big call. Big call, Tom. Paula's big call.
No, all right. No,
I don't know.
We'll have to give it some time.
Listen, I mean, Alex Morgan, she's a couple of injuries, I think, got her towards the end. But listen, 14 years.
You've had a decent
that amount of 123 goals in 224
appearances.
Still,
it's over 50%, bro.
You know.
You're getting a goal every other game.
I mean, Ronaldo's on 130 odd internationals.
He's gotten 1 million goals, yeah.
Going for his 1,000. But anyway, Alex Morgan, good luck on the next phase because you're going to do the things. So not see you on the field, but we're going to see you in more interesting spaces. Anything else from you for... I know we haven't done a complete five-a-side, but sometimes it's fine. It's cold. Guys got flus.
What do you think?
Complete the five-a-side.
What do you think of the mess that's going on at Chelsea? Like, ownership-wise, like, what the hell is going on there?
So, if you don't know, obviously, Todd Bowley is the chairman of Chelsea, but he didn't buy Chelsea with his own money.
Yeah.
He got a hedge fund or investment fund. I'm not smart enough to know the difference.
Either way.
And now the guy in charge of that hedge fund, he wants to run Chelsea, apparently. Is that the story?
Yeah.
And there is a big boardroom battle.
It's a pissing contest, essentially.
You know, so... Everyone's making the jury's out on Chelsea. Like, Chelsea could as equally finish 12th as they could challenge for the title.
Yeah.
Like, if we end the season and Chelsea.
You won't be surprised.
I would. Because their first 11
is decent.
Their bench
is decent.
You know, when you bring on Joao Felix, when you can play around with Pedro Neto, I mean, come on.
Dude.
Like, you know, Enzo Maresca, like, he didn't pick his price. Caicedo, they don't pick their price tags.
Yeah.
Those are good players. So, yeah, like I say, they're not even missing Reece James, you know,
and get
used to it because the dude's like perma injured.
Yeah.
I think that despite Todd Bowley doing what Todd Bowley does and people shitting all over him, I do think he's got the sporting interests at heart.
He does have the sporting interests at heart, but it's just that it's a different kettle of fish because he's probably looking at the American model because he's got a stake in the Lakers, he's got a stake in the LA Dodgers. So he's probably looking at that model and saying, can we try and make this work in this space?
But I think there's a degree he knows it works if the team wins.
Yeah, I mean, like with most things.
Yeah, so I think he understands that. He might not understand it, and maybe it's not transferable. Maybe it is completely transferable. We just don't see it. But I think what he understands is that there is a sporting side of this. I wonder if the other guys don't just see this as a money thing, don't just see this as assets. Don't just see the value of it, and they're not going to do things for sporting reasons. So. That's another battle. We watch that.
But like you've seen, even with what's going on at Man United, Jim Ratcliffe, as much as he is a businessman, he's brought in people who are football-minded to run the football side. Because the thing is, you can't have people who don't have football brains running the football side because it won't work.
Mm.
It really won't work. Cool, yeah, your commercial side might be doing well. But like at the end of the day, if we do badly on the pitch, that hurts your brand. That is the main thing.
Well... Fortunately, not for Manchester United because... I suppose that's the one thing that keeps United ticking over. But yeah, listen, I think the thing is the Chelsea project works and everything that they've done and this crazy fucking 75-man first-team squad.
Signing 99-year leases on players and stuff like that. It's ridiculous.
But listen, you come in to disrupt... There was a loophole because now you can't sign players on longer than 8 years now.
Yeah.
They kind of closed that because they said, okay, well, it's obviously ridiculous. I do think, though, in kind of like the little bit of understanding that I know between the two parties, it just goes, you know, Todd Bowley, the guy knows success. Success makes the money work.
Absolutely.
So, you know, even though we shit on him, the next guy might be worse for them and might just do a complete asset strip. So listen, that is the close of part one, our five-a-side. Not a full five-a-side.
Not a full.
But that happens. You know, sometimes you go, oh, everyone says on the morning, oh, we're coming in. Shit happens. You don't end up with not a full five-a-side. But those are stories. So one of the things we wanted to do as a separate series, but, you know, timing and reality, but we're going to bundle into this, is there are a lot of sports documentaries around.
Oh, jeez.
Heaps. And we watch heaps.
It's pro.
I will.
Oh, just on another side, but you know the Tyson and who's Jake Paul?
Yeah, yeah.
Fight's not happening anymore.
No, it's been delayed.
Okay, cool. Okay, I thought it was canceled altogether.
No, I saw them promoting a new date or something.
All right, cool.
Coming up, we are going to be, I'm going to be reviewing a sports documentary I watched recently.
Okay. And Senzo's just going to chime in.
Senzo is going to, because you know the story, maybe you've watched it already. And then after that, we've got Senzo's non-football story of the week. This is Working Title FC. Working Title FC sports documentaries. I love them though.
I love them. So what have you been watching, bro? Oh, I got Amazon Prime. Good stuff.
A lot of good stuff on Amazon Prime.
I've watched the All Blacks one.
Right.
And then I watched the Ashes one.
Okay.
Lovely stuff. I'm enjoying the Ashes one.
All right. Well, that's what you got to bring to the party in the next couple of weeks. I want to talk to one that has come up on Netflix recently.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure if to watch it because a football documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not nuts about the player.
Di Maria.
There you go. Di Maria's guy.
I'm saving it. Like, also, I'm still angry with him. I've still got beef with Di Maria, but like, whatever.
Okay, so the documentary is called Breaking the Wall. It is on Netflix. It's a three-parter. Get ready to read because Narcos style.
Oh, yeah.
All in Spanish.
And also, that's also what I'm on because I'm also not for the dubbing bit, bro.
Yeah.
I'm also not for dubbing.
No, I can't do the dubbing. I tried it. I was kind of like busy doing something and I had it on and I put the dubbing on. Oh man,
it's terrible, eh?
It's very odd.
Also, you know, it doesn't feel like it's authentic,
man. Because Spanish is you know, he or the puta, you can't translate
bro,
that.
Come on.
He or the puta, you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
So it is Di Maria's story. I'll tell you what, let me tell you something. So the reason, obviously, Di Maria, it's not that he didn't work out at United, because a lot of guys haven't worked out at United. It's not their fault.
Exactly.
It's just that he never misses a chance to shit on United.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just move on. Okay, it's fine.
We get it, bro. It doesn't work, but like, bro.
It's like, dude, you've had bigger clubs and you've won the World Cups and like, just leave us alone. Like,
honestly, you've done your bit.
We know what you are. Anyway, listen, what I got to say. Oh, another thing of me with Di Maria is obviously he comes from Benfica.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And so you got a little bit of that, and Benfica was like shitting all over the Portuguese league at the time, so he was part of that, but. I got to tell you, changed my opinion of him. And I think
okay.
One of the things about Di Maria is we actually, the dude is like, it said somewhere in the documentary that in the eyes of Argentinian fans, there are only three players above him. And I don't know. I think
Messi, Maradona, yeah.
Mario Kempes.
Ooh, okay.
And then Di Maria. But I'm kind of going, I don't know if you're third, dude. I don't know if you could be third. So his story starts back in the documentary. Episode one is kind of his early career.
Sure.
Starting out as a kid, his story comes from a real working class family. His father sold coal. When they tell the story about it, it sounds a lot more like poverty stricken than it is.
Yeah.
I'm sure, listen, dirty job, no doubt about it.
No, but like we also come from, you know, we come from South Africa. We know people that do those jobs and they put food on the table, they send their kids to school, they live a decent life.
Right. So they were definitely like, I mean, I wouldn't even say as high a middle class, but they weren't like poverty.
No, they weren't dirt family, poor. Right? It wasn't dirt poor, yeah.
They were dirt middle class.
Yeah, middle class. I mean, we keep things ticking over.
Right. And then he kind of like plays for his local club. Interesting that his father, his grandfather and his father both could have been professional players.
But there was just different priorities, yeah.
And one of the things is, not even priority, I think what you understand through it is a couple of things you pick up is that what it makes you realize is how much, and I think there's a great documentary or podcast in this,
yeah,
in the siblings of famous footballers and what they had to give up.
Yeah.
especially like South American, Africans, you know, where the whole family kind of has to go, you know, he's got two sisters. Thank God the sisters don't look like him, though.
Oh, she's
yeah. Weird looking dude. And I think that's one of the things that maybe why we don't rank him, because he looks
odd. Funny.
You know,
he looks strange. Looks
weird, right? And his sisters kind of like had to give up what they wanted to do for a while because the family moved with him to Portugal, right? When he got transferred to Benfica.
You don't think about that, right? Yeah, but you look at it for what it is now. It all worked out at the end of the day.
So that's it, right? One of the things you also understand is that he goes to Benfica, quite funny because bookended. Goes to Benfica. He's back at Benfica now.
Yeah.
You know, and Rui Costa was his teammate. Mm. And now Rui Costa is his boss, you know. Yeah. And listen, Rui Costa is in it. The cast call of who is in this documentary.
Oh, bro, come on. You can kind of wrap your head around
it. So pretty much all his major Argentina teammates, including Messi. Okay. The wife of Maradona, Rui Costa, Ander Herrera, Carlo Ancelotti, Mourinho. I mean, no one from Manchester United. Ander Herrera talks about the Manchester United time.
Yeah.
But of course, they ended up back at PSG together. Sergio Ramos is in it.
I mean, come on.
Paulo Dybala's in it. I was surprised Aguero wasn't in it. But yeah, it's just a roll call of people.
I mean, come on. Look where he's played and the people that he's played with.
There's like a couple of like candid kind of shot videos with Mbappe. You know, the dude's played
with blockbuster Erksberg.
Real blockbuster, right?
I think he's one of the only dudes that's been teammates with Messi and Ronaldo.
Right. And obviously that's why Ronaldo's not in it. I can't be talking about Messi's best friend, right?
Honestly, dog, yeah, like come on.
So that's the first episode kind of takes him to Benfica and just before he transfers to Real Madrid. Second part is kind of his journey around Real Madrid, then to United, then to PSG.
Yep.
Listen, what happened to him at United, I mean, you know the story and spoken about in more detail, is that there was an attempted break-in at his house. He confronted the burglars, his kids. Bro. Like, that shit. Like you can't...
But then at the end of the day, bro...
If you hate the place, like, I don't blame you.
No, but like, people don't understand. He still had to go out and play.
And he wasn't given heaps of time off about
honestly,
it either,
because
right?
Because the thing is like, bro, that's major trauma, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
That is major trauma.
So, listen, I can get it. Okay, it wasn't the best time. But again, don't shit on United. Those weren't United things. You know what I mean? Lots of players. Yeah, those weren't United things. Right? So you go through what he did at PSG, pretty much won everything. And then the final episode is obviously a bit of his international career.
Yeah.
And we know he got injured in how many finals? There was that one period where there was a Copa America every year.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
And... The whole concept of breaking the wall is about how he just couldn't win with Argentina and he just couldn't
how
win
all of them couldn't.
The affection of fans.
Yeah.
Right? And how many times they just kept falling at the final hurdle or just kind of shitting the bed. And he's like been around for like he's was in the 2010 World Cup.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Maradona personally called him up.
Yeah, bro.
Then he kind of didn't want to play again. Messi said, no.
Come, bro.
I need the dude back. It's like when Maradona and Messi have got your back.
Bro, you've got the buy-in of everybody in Argentina, bro.
I mean, are you actually losing at this point?
No.
So it did change my opinion of him. And, you know, we go back to the thing about his father and his grandfather. And he says, like, everyone tells him his grandfather was a better player than him.
Cool, bro.
What you realize about Di Maria, what you realize, I think, about these elite footballers is that at Benfica, 19 years old, he got abused, like booed, right? Yeah. People turned on him. Real Madrid, he was never... When Ronaldo's there, Ronaldo sucks all the air out the room.
Yeah, bro, okay. it's hard to be in a room with that guy.
In Argentina, Messi's the guy. In Mbappe's the guy.
You always have to play a supporting role.
Right, so he was always... Manchester United was a mess. But remember the way he started, though.
Yeah, but he started like a house on fire.
I think he scored on his debut,
I think. House on fire, but...
Started really
also
well.
Scored that ridiculous goal against Leicester.
That little chip scoop. Yeah. He has never been front and center, but kind of like doesn't need it. But one of the things you realize about those elite
he's a baller, though.
The belief in himself.
He's a baller, though.
They were talking about one period playing for Argentina, and like on TV, he was being kind of like shat on TV, and fans were booing him in stadiums, and his father said, quit, quit. And he said, no,
I can't.
It's just like that iron will of players.
But the thing is,
jeez.
But Paul, it's that competitive nature. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's probably because, you know what you've come from. You know what you've had to overcome. I've come this far, dude. I've come this far.
But
I didn't just come here just to be.
His family said to him, you know, listen, you could come back to Argentina and play for any team here. Any team. He's like, no, I'm staying here. But listen, it gives you an appreciation of Di Maria. The guy has won
everything, literally
everything. No individual awards, but probably
bro. But like, also, what are you going to tell your kids that I played in a team with people, and also,
and the
what fun is it if you're the only one winning, and in a team sport?
It makes me regret it didn't work for Man United, because you go, I would love to have that affection towards him.
Yeah, exactly.
That I think
he deserves.
Other teams have for him.
Yeah,
you know. And, you know, at Benfica, listen, he's playing. He's not the same player.
No, I mean, time does its thing.
I think he's about 36 or 37 now.
Time does its thing, though.
You know, so he's not, he's there, and he's good for the new team.
Yeah, Benfica, and also, but just to speak to the kids and mentor them and stuff like that.
But listen, I mean, when you are in the company, so if you do have that argument about Argentina, and Mario Kempes is like, okay, won a World Cup, nothing wrong.
But he didn't go Copa, World Cup, Copa.
Right. And you're probably the best human who's ever played for Argentina, because Messi and Maradona are not on this planet, right? So
you can say Batistuta, where yours, bro?
You're probably the best human who played for Argentina.
Absolutely.
Angel Di Maria. So check that out. It is on Netflix, Breaking the Wall. Get ready to read. His wife's a firecracker. His wife will fuck you up.
That's why he wasn't in Manchester anymore. She said, listen, I want to get the hell out of here. And
His wife, you know what? What's nice about it shows the people around him.
Yeah.
A lot of his friends.
And also that's important, bro. Mm. It's the people around you, because, I mean,
Like he comes back. There's like some home video footage of when they came back to Argentina for the victory parade. And then his friends that he's had from childhood invite to their house for like a barbecue. Argentinians love a barbecue.
Yeah.
It's just a normal house, and he's there and he loves it. And he's
I'm here, bro.
I'm the greatest human to have played for Argentina. But
exactly.
I just want to be with my boys and my family. Bro. So I got a different opinion about Angel Di Maria, that is talking sports documentaries. We'll have more of those for you over the season. Next up, we're going to jump over to Senzo for his non-football story of the week. Senzo loves all the sports.
All of it.
Working title, FC Senzo likes all the sports, loves all the sports, knows a shitload about all the sports. A shitload. What are you throwing at us today?
Non-sports story, bro. So, there's a certain music mogul, and he is, I wanted to talk about this.
Well, I thought you were going to go non-football story. So, if I said non-sports, a non-football story. But
non-football,
listen,
but like in non-sports, non-football.
The title of the show is going to be Diddy or City.
Diddy or City, man.
So, let's talk about Diddy.
What a mess, eh?
It's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
Fuck, I mean,
and like you know, you look at it now and you're just like, geez, bro, this is someone that, especially as a black male, like you kind of like looked up to.
Sure.
And then now to find out what kind of a human being he is, I mean, a lot of us must feel robbed.
Because talk to me about that a little bit, though, because that's interesting. I mean, I never saw it that way, but I mean, because Diddy's success, right? Diddy's mogul.
Diddy's mogul, bro. And if you think about like black men, like there's only a handful of us that Jay-Z's in that air, LeBron James in that air.
Mm.
But now he's just like, geez, Diddy, bro. And in terms of the way he shaped the culture and like of what it is and like hip hop and all that, like it just leaves a very bad taste in your mind. And also, we've spoken about this before. Things like this don't just come out from nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Like one story I can believe, and if it's a he, like, but like if a couple of people are saying that about you, sure, it has to be true.
And
I'm not that I'm condemning him before that, but like...
Yeah, no. It's but listen, the stories have been around for a long time, and there's like... there's a lot. You know, it's kind of like Epstein.
Bro, you got hit with the Rico.
Yeah.
I mean, that's mafia stuff, bro.
Yeah. But the thing is, you know, so you hear a lot of allegations is that he would have these massive parties and he phoned people.
Yeah, that's...
Can you believe that?
You're sadistic, but if you have to do that, and then you blackmailed him. Like, yeah. After you at my house, you did this, this, and this. Like,
I mean, I showed you that one picture of a picture of LeBron years ago at one of his parties, getting ready to go to the party. Do you think people come down with him or just like he's going to take the fall for everyone? Or what do you think?
No, he's not going to take the fall for everyone because if you get denied $50 million bail. And also there's another big name that was said that was also in cahoots with him, Lucian Grange. So he's the CEO of Universal Music. Universal Music is responsible for at least about like 50% of all the music you hear, all the music that comes out. So if people like that are being tied into this indictment, like what more is there?
Man, this is going to get messy.
I feel robbed, eh? I feel cheated.
Yeah.
I feel cheated. I feel lied to.
I never looked, obviously, I didn't see that perspective, but I mean, yeah, it's fascinating because it's so true, right? So what happens? What's the roll call now? I mean, these things like can stay in court for ages.
I really don't know, but I mean, he got denied bail of $50 million and $50 million is not change.
Yeah.
It's not change. And they're still saying
even for
no.
Diddy.
Yeah. Even for, and they're still saying no. So that kind of tells you like, is this something of like, Jeffrey Epstein proportions? Like,
I mean, it's one of those where he dies in jail. Like he's
gonna, but like you just wonder how many more powerful people are there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, do they come down or does he take? And this is audio, but I'm doing air quotes. Take his life in jail. You know, that's heavy, man. Because that's happened before.
Yeah, man.
That's happened before. Didn't happen with Harvey Weinstein. He took his life in jail.
No, was it Jeffrey Epstein?
Was it Jeffrey?
Harvey Weinstein's not a criminal anymore. He got cleared. Like. Struck off, but like you see, it just goes to show like
power,
dude.
So, exactly. If you got tapes,
if you got evidence, bro, and also the thing is, when you go to the law, it's not about what you know, it's about what you can prove.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I may know something about you, Paulo, but if I can't prove it, then
irrelevant.
It's hearsay.
One thing I gotta wonder, we're in the year 2024,
yeah,
right? Why do we still have courtroom drawings? Why do they still have sketch in the courtroom drawings? Why don't they take photos?
I don't think you're allowed. Like, I get it.
Oh, you can't take photos. Okay, okay. Schooled me. So what do I know?
Exactly. I mean, imagine, bro, Paulo. Like, it's very serious. Like, now we out here.
Does it come out that he killed Biggie and Tupac?
I don't know.
Do you think that comes out?
Bro, anything's on the cards these days, bro.
All right, this is Working Title FC. I was expecting a non-football story. I didn't expect a non-sports story.
But it's all entertainment.
It's all entertainment. That's what Working Title FC is about because sports isn't just about the 90... Football's not just about the 90 minutes on the field. It's about a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
And Diddy probably went to a football game at some point. So I want to play something next from a series we did. Spoke about it.
Yeah, man.
Goat Farm, where basically what we do is it's kind of like a Hall of Fame, but it's a farm. And we let all these little goats wander around on
the
it.
The kids.
Kids, they can bleat and have a good time. And in this particular one, we started off the series. You can go find the full series in our feed, but don't go anywhere. Just listen to this. It is our Goat Farm induction of Rui Costa. We mentioned him once already. He was my favorite Portuguese player.
No, he's the guy.
Probably ever. He didn't get the success Figo did, but...
we all know he was the G.
You want to talk about a cult 90s football. This is Working Title FC, where we speak about Rui Costa putting him on the Goat Farm.
Manuel Rui Costa.
The maestro. Rui Costa, the maestro.
The guy.
You guys have been spending too much time together.
No, I just know Paulo.
He knows because he knows the swag that I
know Paulo.
So, number one, listen. So, each episode we've had a running order. Had through... Ryan, say what's going on here. Because look at my other running orders.
Can I just say, I've commented on the presentation on the other episodes. Excellent presentation. Lots of information. Paulo's really gone in on the facts here. I mean, not that he needed to, because he knows a lot. He doesn't need a lot of facts. But anyway, you go down. So now we're in the top page. If you go down to the final running order for this episode, for episode 3, It says, I don't need facts.
Manuel Ricochet.
So this is off the dome. This is Paolo coming for you. No facts on the page.
My dog.
This is
my
from
dog.
The heart, man.
The original Rolls Royce of midfielders.
This is from the heart. So let me tell you.
No, seriously, this guy was a Rolls Royce, bro. Figo is my favorite Portuguese player, but this guy.
Rui Costa. Let me tell you about this guy. So he first comes into my consciousness. A lot of him, Figo, João Pinto, a couple of them. Mm. When Portugal wins the Under-20 World Cup. Rui Costa.
1991.
Estádio de Luz, the old one. Rui Costa scores the winning goal.
The guy.
Now, I was in Portugal that year. Okay? My father says he wanted to take me to the final, but there was I don't know what it was. So I was in Lisbon, and now we're watching the game. And I see this kid, right? Now, Rui Costa, number 10. Now, you don't get number 10s anymore.
Yeah, they're dead.
Karic, help me say his name at Napoli, the Georgian.
Faratzelia
is probably the closest you get to a number 10, but even he has to take concessions because of the way teams play. You don't get that sit behind a striker, sit behind two strikers, number 10. But Rui Costa was, if you had to say, ChatGPT, describe an old school number 10. Now, I see this kid, kind of not skinny, slight. Socks all the way down.
Oh, yeah.
No shin pads. At this point. This is now when I first see him. No shin pads. Yeah, and everyone's talking about it. You know.
How old is he at this point?
At this point, he's 18.
Yeah. Oh, so you saw him.
Under 20 World Cup.
Under 20 World Cup, right?
Cool.
So he's this kid from Benfica. I'm a Sporting supporter. I'm like, oh. Benfica. And Figo's there. Now, Figo's my guy. I love Figo. I've known him. But
who is this guy?
He has this Benfica guy. Socks down, shirt out, curlyish long hair, but just strolling around. Like 20 years old, but playing the game like I'm 11, right? And I'm watching it. I go, no, there's something here, right? Strolling around the field like nothing's a problem for him.
It's too easy.
Just floating around, gets bigger players try to tackle him, shirks them off. You don't even get close to him. Because by the time you've got him, the ball's gone and he's moved for the 1-2. Fast, but not fast. You know what I mean?
Deceptively fast.
Looks like he's standing still, but when he's confronted by a player or two, assuming he's gone. Just round people all the time like, oh my God, who is this guy? So he then breaks into the Benfica team. Next thing, before you know it, he's moved to Fiorentina.
That's when I was like,
this is where the action starts.
That's where the gun show starts.
So now Fiorentina, for any 90s kid, were
box office
swag, bro. Ryan, they were swag. Firstly, because they played in this phenomenally purple colored kit.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay. So Ryan there, that's what Rui Costa. This was a little bit later. It established himself probably like mid-20s there.
Socks down.
All the way down.
Oh,
well, I'll show you. Whoa, we're right. I'll come back to
we'll
that.
Get there, we'll
I'll
get
come
there.
Back to that, right? Whoa. Socks all the way down. Fila.
Yep.
Right? Awesome.
Nintendo.
And Nintendo is a shirt sponsor. They rotated between Nintendo and 7-Up over this period.
You know
period.
Nothing about this guy.
Firstly, what a combination.
I've got that shirt.
Fila and Nintendo.
90s, bro.
Because I don't 90s. Think Fila sponsor anymore.
They're not involved in football.
I don't think so.
Dude, Fila in the 90s was the thing.
No, but Nintendo, it looks awesome. Nintendo.
That purple kit, I so badly wanted
Nintendo a Nintendo 64 before the Wii, man. My man.
That's what I'm saying.
I'd hate to know how much one of these things costs. If you can even get one.
Oh, at this stage, I wanted one of those so badly. I conceded, then I got Figo's, Rui Costa's Portugal shirt from Euro 96. So, Rui Costa, this is when he goes to
Fiorentina.
And he kind of serves the bullets to this guy you might have heard of, Gabriel Batistuta.
Only the second greatest Argentinian goal scorer of all time.
Batty goal. Okay? Messi, you also might have heard him. Only recently broke his goal scoring records.
Exactly.
Right? So, Rui Costa
my God.
And Batistuta make this deadly duo in Fiorentina. Don't win the Serie A. I think they won the Coppa Italia. They
shook things up.
They terrorized Arsenal in the Champions League. Arsenal were playing at Wembley,
You mean Highbury?
No, at Wembley. Because Highbury went down there, bought the new stadium.
Yes.
And they came and they had a party, right? back then, you didn't get round-the-clock coverage like you do now. So they were showing on Saturdays. You used to watch the highlight package. And if I was lucky, I'd get a video cassette from Portugal on the Portuguese satellite TV that I'd be able to see the highlights.
Didn't you also subscribe to some like football magazine that used to come through every...
Yeah, World Soccer.
Yeah.
World Soccer. So I've subscribed for this guy. It was equal. Now, listen. Figo goes on to be Galactico, Ballon d'Or. World's most expensive player, has a documentary. Everyone knows Figo, okay? But Rui Costa was just this little presence.
Figo's guy. He was Figo's guy.
He was Figo's guy. The two of them at times on the field were telepathic. Them in their pomp.
Come on, dog.
Okay? Them in their pomp.
Come on,
were,
man. Tell me about it. What you know?
I can't think of a combo of players. Bernard Silva and Bruno are kind of similar. But they're just not the same, man. Figo and Hoy, when
thickest thieves,
Figo,
bro.
A guy, goes, I'm not doing this on my own. This is my Pippen.
That's
an example. What,
are
Jordan
you
and Pippen.
Are you talking about like just Portuguese football or world football?
But give me another comparison because for me.
Ronaldo, Rivaldo.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was
Come
a good
on,
one,
bro.
Yeah.
Come on. There's, yeah, so it's not quite. It's not like Batman and Robin because Robin's clearly like, but the guy can. Neo and Morpheus. Think of it like that.
So he has his story. He's at Fiorentina, has a great time there. 215 games, only scores 38 goals, but he's a guy who doesn't want to score goals. I got Batistuta. You scored.
That's
him.
Not my job, bro.
Man, him and Batistuta. But this is how clever Rui Costa is.
10.
He totally understands Batistuta, goes to Portugal, totally understands Figo. He just adapts because he's so clever. Right,
smart,
the amount of little slide passes, that little shimmy and a slide behind the defense, Batistuta's through scoring goals. Okay, Rui Costa played in slippers, right? He used to have cigarettes at halftime. Yeah. He used to smoke
That's
at halftime. This didn't change him. Smoke. Coach goes, "You're Rui Costa. You do what you do, boy." So in Italy, he wins not much. There's Coppa Italia twice, and then they agree to sell him to Parma, but the deal falls through. Mm-hmm. So he kind of goes, okay, well, I do want to leave. I've been here a long time. Let me just go to AC Milan. Where he joins up with Rivaldo, who just signed. And you're going, hey, but you guys are both number 10s. How do you fit into the team?
Rivaldo, you were 11, bro.
Don't worry. Don't worry. We'll figure it out. We'll both play in the same team.
Say it off.
So he plays in that same side. And wins the Champions League, which I'm super happy about because I think that's what he deserved, is to take a Champions League. So he wins that with AC Milan. I think he would have loved to win it with either Fiorentina or Benfica. But his time at AC Milan gets cut short because they kind of bring in this youngster called Kaká. So he's kind of like...
Ricardo Isaacson dos Santos.
Rui Costa is just like a practical guy. He goes, yeah, I can see it. That guy's pretty
good. Don't worry.
Yeah,
it's all good.
The number 10 safe. I'm moving.
It's so in good hands.
He goes back to Benfica. Now, he had never really played that much for Benfica. So he goes back to Benfica and Alder Statesman. Now, if you thought he was floating around and just walking before, he goes back to Benfica, walking football, still the best player in the league.
Honestly, bro.
No one could touch
him. There is that World Cup. The one where Portugal didn't take seriously. Him, Figo, and Conceição went there to go just... They said, Jogo Boni, they said, you know what, rip the game plan up. Bro, him and Conceição were just doing things to people.
You know, you forget. When you see Sergio Conceição now as a coach, you actually forget what a good player he was.
Bro.
You know, I saw something comparing. They said, no, one of his sons is like him. I was like, no. Dude, your sons are nothing like you. Because Conceição didn't play for a big side, I think a lot of people slept on him. But Conceição was
that 2002 World Cup. It's just because you guys were over-swagulating. There was too much swag.
It was a bit too much. There was just too much swag there.
Too much heat.
I also think we hammered Poland and kind of got into our fields and thought, like, this thing's easy. And then probably got robbed by South Korea, but let's just... that's a conversation
Who did South Korea rob?
Man, they took out Portugal, Spain, and Italy in a row.
They said, all these Iberian guys out.
Man, we don't need our players to go to Europe anyway. What do we, what do we give a shit? We've got a goose heading here. We don't care.
Yeah.
So he goes back to Benfica, wins the league while he's there. And then he goes, oh, what should I do? I'm done playing. You know what I'm just going to do? I'm just going to be the president of Benfica.
And loot every English team that wants my players.
The scourge of Premier League clubs. His time at Benfica has coincided with Premier League clubs being goddamn idiots. And when he sees a flight come in from either Liverpool or London, he goes, boys,
you want to eat?
Go get me a Darwin Nunes. Go get me an Enzo Fernandez. Go get one of those.
Just
the
those
Premier League are here.
Just those two. 193 million pounds.
So there's a number that I don't have on me now, but the amount of money that Benfica have earned the highest amount of money from transfers under Rui Costa's tenure. No other team in the world, and maybe it changed now with the Saudis, but I doubt it. No other team has earned as much money from transfers as Benfica has under Rui Costa's presidentship. Now, I am a Sporting fan, but you know what? I love seeing Liverpool and Chelsea had their pants pulled down. And I'm willing to bet that Rui Costa and Gabriel Batistuta are still such a double duo that Rui Costa gets you in. And I know Nuno Gomes also.
Ooh, that's another guy who slept on.
They tried to replace Batigol with Nuno Gomes. Long hair. They thought it's going to be the same. Didn't quite work. But I think Rui Costa, so when an English club comes in, hey, Todd, come here. Come, Todd. Come. Let's walk down here. Lovely. I took you. I gave some pastéis. Nata, we had a nice lunch. Let's go into the boardroom and sign off Enzo. Oh, yes, Batistuta to finish the deal. Bang. 120 million in the bank account.
Thank you.
Thank you,
I'll
English
see you next
Premier
time
League.
You need me.
And he just keeps producing them. The next one is a youngster called Neves. She's also a midfield. Rui Costa, got him. I've got him. The Premier League clubs. See, Ryan's already got Neves, so I'm going to go look into that guy. I'm going to tell Todd. So that is my latest inductee into Goat Farm. Probably one of the best midfielders you've been sleeping on. The last old school number 10. Rui Costa, unfortunately, didn't win anything with Portugal, lost the Euro 2004 final, scored the best goal, the goal that put Portugal ahead in the match against England in extra time, comes off the bench,
diving,
shimmies a couple of English players, puts them on their ass, a veteran Rui Costa, and just kind of casually smashes it into the top corner. Go look at Rui Costa goal, England, Euro 2004. That's all you need to know about my boy, Rui Costa.
Okay, no.
In the goat farm.
I co-signed that one. I co-signed
it. Yes, you've co-signed all of them so far.
No.
These are great.
Mate, these guys aren't even trying. That's the thing. It's like breathing to these, like, hold on, man.
All of them have been effortless.
Hold on.
So it says everything.
Ask the head boy who he goes to when he's in trouble.
Guys, can I tell you something? When I was playing soccer at that age, I even tried to run like Rui Costa.
Oh, bro, everybody.
He had such a distinctive way of running. Oh, just so loose. Man, loved him. And one final thing, Ryan, I want to show you. This is the holy grail of football shirts. So this shirt never existed.
Get the white one.
But a Fiorentina kit, while they're sponsored by Nintendo with Super Mario on the front.
Super Mario, man.
I mean, this is 90s. This is not what, you know, now we get Drake on front of shirts and things like that.
So how much is it there?
So this one happens to
an
be...
An arm, leg, and a kidney.
I don't even know what kind, what, Mexican dollars. So it is 2,000 Mexican dollars. So I assume that's...
Pesos.
Let's check it out in dollars.
One rand.
$116.
I mean, it's not bad.
That's 2,000 rand.
They just don't
do
have
it in white.
Do they have my size, though? That's the
of course,
question.
Bro. All those kits come in your size.
Hey,
bro.
Man, you don't wear this. You don't wear these shirts. So that is Rui Costa, Goat Farm. Welcome in. Look at him as president of Benfica. No. That is a president. That is a man I would spend 100 million on Darwin Nunes with. My guy, opinions haven't changed.
Mate, this. The thing is, you have to see him play. Like, the guy's a Rolls Royce. The guy plays in third gear the whole time. I can't see him, like, getting frazzled. Like, could be 89th minute, we're 1-0 down. Oh, he'll go get the ball, turn three guys and say, yeah, have it.
Well, I mean, I just go back to that Euro 2004 goal against England.
Bro.
Comes off the bench, just rolls in. Don't worry about it. Golden generation, go to sleep. Rui Costa's here.
I'm the guy.
So that was a series called Goat Farm. We'll be playing the four episodes we produced within the show going forward. You can go listen to it separately, share with a friend. And we will be doing more because...
Absolutely.
There's that concept that football fans or guys can just sit around, sports
and
fans.
And talk.
Just name players.
Until the sun comes
just
up.
Just name players. Just for an hour and you go... Oh.
You remember that guy.
So Goat Farm. tries to produce or tries to prove that. So listen, Senzo, it's been great. This is the first part of a new era. I can feel it. I can feel it.
So good. So great.
Working title.
It's like riding a bike. You're like, man, I've forgotten, but like, this is great.
Working title before was the old Champions League format.
Exactly.
I feel we're going to dominate new Champions League format.
Nicely, well put. Well, nicely
makes
good.
Sense to do it all together. Listen, Sporting Weekend coming up. What are you looking forward to in sports this week?
Well, Springboks. Being the Springboks. United, let's see what you do.
Curry Cup final?
You know, one of those, okay. Yeah, we'll see, man.
Yeah, I mean, listen, looking forward to United, Springboks, always good. You going to stay up for the game, 11 o'clock?
Depends.
If it wasn't Argentina, man, it wasn't a B team. But anyway, listen, working title, FC, thank you for joining. Share it with a friend. We're only going to go to bigger things from here.